Blog Talk Radio. Thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe I have been here before. I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march. It's a cone and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 There was a time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God above, and all I ever learned from love was how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. And it's not a cry you can hear at night, it's not somebody who's seen the light, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny, and I'm here with my co-host,
Miss Jessica.
And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Our guest on the show today is going to be Lucinda Stryker Schmidt, author of A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl.
which both Jessica and I have had the pleasure of reading. And let me tell you, it was not only a good read, but a real eye-opener, one of those books you start and don't plan on going to sleep because you're going to finish it.
I loved it. I loved it, and I hope everybody read it.
Yeah, it's an amazing book. Lucinda is an amazing woman who was born into an Amish family and consequently raised in an Amish community, and her father was the bishop of that community. That's kind of like your dad being the minister, but like tenfold.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So tonight we're gonna be allowed to have a real peek into what truly goes on in an Amish family and in a community. And as I mentioned last week, you know, I think we all kind of view Amish people and communities as very conservative and quaint. And the reality is, even though they are hardworking communities and they have many wonderful attributes, there's also a history of abuse and incest and some great dysfunction as well. And it's amazing how Lucinda managed to find her way out of the Amish community to get herself a first-class education, and she's become quite an entrepreneur in the process. And by the way, she also wrote the book, so she's an amazing woman with or without the book, but the book is really her gift to us, so we have that unusual peek inside at what's really going on in an Amish household. So we're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes, and she's going to be taking some live calls tonight as well. And if you have a question for Lucinda, either about her book or what it was like to grow up Amish, folks, this is probably truly maybe one of your only chances to ask some of those questions that may have, you know, kind of rolled around in your head about this topic. I don't think there are too many people, if any, that I'm aware of that have the courage to speak up regarding what really, you know, goes on in an Amish community. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of maybe not so good. But here's your chance to ask some of those questions. So please give us a call at 1-323-679-0882. And I know Lucinda will try her best to answer any and all your questions. And then later on in the show, as always, we'll be doing some mini angel readings. So, again, you know the call-in number. If you're looking for a mini reading or you just want to make a comment on our topic of the week, or even if you have some advice, go ahead and give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And, by the way, the chat room is open and it's live. So if you want to go ahead and ask a question in there, we'll try and read it live on the air. I know Susie Q is going to be in there tonight, like she is every week, doing a wonderful job. Don't forget to mark your calendars, May 11th. Our topic is Dysfunctional Families, the Gift That Keeps on Giving, Even Though You May Want to Return It, and how the effects of growing up in a dysfunctional family can affect us in our adult lives, and how to turn it into a positive. And then on May 18th, we've got Father Bob, right? Father Bob Bailey. He's a Roman Catholic priest, seen regularly on shows such as The Paranormal State and The Haunted, and he's a real true Ghostbuster, and he'll be joining us. And then on May 25th, our topic will be laughter. Can it really cure cancer, herpes, depression, and the common cold? Learn about some real scientific evidence that proves that laughter really is the best medicine. And some of those facts and some of the scientific studies that they've done are really quite shocking. Anyway, Jessica, how has your week been?
Well, like I always say every week, busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, it has. It's been a crazy week for everybody. I think all of us have been taken over by the same chatter this week because on Sunday night, you know, we all got the same news, right about Osama bin Laden.
That was shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was shocking, and it's always scary when you're watching TV and they say special news report and the president's going to speak and your heart just stops for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all remember, well, there have been so many times in our history, when at NASA, when the space shuttle went up that time, and it was just heartbreaking, and when 9/11 hit, you know, it was just some big news like that is always scary. I received a lot of calls this week, and people they were feeling, and they weren't sure if what they were feeling was okay, because a lot of what we see on TV had them pretty confused. You know, I know you and I talked about that. And the truth is, you know, he was a terrible, terrible man, and he's no longer able to inflict pain and terror or fear on a nation. And some chose to take to the streets to celebrate that fact, and that's okay, but many even more than that, you know, they didn't feel it was right to celebrate a person's death, regardless of the atrocities. And I feel that way, that this person committed horrible, horrible things while he was alive, but I also think that I myself felt that I could not celebrate the death of any human being, but was greatly relieved, of course, that this individual was no longer able to cause the fear and the pain that he had brought down upon a great nation. So I think it's, of course, okay to celebrate the fact that you know, this individual has been muted from ever hurting us again, and that's okay. But I just probably would suggest that perhaps we never become jovial over the death of any human life, because in this case, we don't want to mimic those we have come to despise. Let's celebrate the lives of those he cut short and be saddened for the families that have lost loved ones at his hands or as a result of his orders. Let's keep those people foremost on our minds, because for me, it's a question of keeping your eye on the prize, and that's the American people who suffered at his hands, their families, and our military who helped to protect us each and every day from ruthless attacks.
Right.
You know? And now, because he used a woman to shield himself, this song goes out to everybody who's a female.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Oh yes, I'm wise, but it will fall the pain if I pay the price. But look how much I gain. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong, I am invincible. I am woman. You can bend but never break me, 'cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, 'cause you deepen the conviction in my soul. Oh yes, I'm wise, but it will still fall the pain if I pay the price. But look how much I gain. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong, I am invincible.
Back live on the Christian Psychic Cafe. Our guest tonight is Lucinda Stryker Schmidt, author of A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl. And we're going to be talking to her in just a few seconds. You've heard of growing up Gaudi. Well, this is going to be about growing up Amish, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lucinda was recently returning from another national book tour known as the Barnes & Noble Tour, and then followed that up with another book tour after being nominated as a must-read by Starbucks. Her fictional story, which is based on true events from her life, had at one point even been sold out at Amazon. Now, I checked. I know because a lot of you had mentioned that you were going to try and get the book after last week's show when I talked about it, so you can still get it from Amazon. She's even been contacted by Oprah. How's that? That's pretty cool. And we are delighted that she is here with us tonight. So I want to welcome to the show Lucinda Stryker-Schmidt. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Jenny.
Hi, Lucinda. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I have my voice is a little scratchy. I have really bad pollen allergies, springtime pollen. But so I apologize for my scratchy throat. But do I sound okay?
You sound wonderful, and you sound as good as always, and you have nothing to worry about. And we all get that pollen attack from time to time. As a matter of fact, Jessica was just saying that she hoped she didn't have a little cough attack during the show tonight. So don't you worry about it. We're just delighted to have you on.
I'm just delighted to be here. I love doing I've done multiple radio conferences like this nationwide, but I have to tell you, Dr. Jenny, this is the first time I've done one where one of my very best friends in the whole world is the host. That would be you.
Oh, God bless you. You're so kind. You are such a kind person. And that's the one thing I don't think anyone could walk away not knowing that you are just a kind, compassionate person, because that just comes out of every pore of your being. It truly does. And, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners have had a chance to read your book, A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl. Jessica and I did have the opportunity to read it. It's such a wonderful
book. It's a great book.
Tell our listeners about the book, if you
could.
Thank
you. Well, I wrote it from a journal I had kept from the time I was a child. I started writing a journal when I was probably around 8 years old. And I wrote the book from that journal. And then it was shelved for like 18 years. I was afraid to have it published because of its controversial content. And I worried about my children and my family, who is still in the old order Amish. I worried that they would have repercussions. So I was afraid for them. And I myself really don't fear much of anything, but I really don't. But so a couple years ago, I asked my children how they would feel if their mother got that book published, and they were. Immediately, well, Mom, we don't know why you haven't done it before now. Don't worry about us. I have two amazing children. My very well educated. I made sure of that.
I can imagine.
I was reactionary. Because of the ban that was placed on me to not receive the education that I absolutely thirsted and hungered for, I was determined that my children would have whatever education they desired. And so they're both very well educated. My son is a mechanical engineer.
Oh, wow.
And, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. And my daughter is a CPA, and they're amazing, amazing. God's gift.
To you and to the world.
I'm telling you, it's true.
You know what's
so
funny?
Grateful.
That brings up an interesting point. Growing up Amish, girls were treated differently than boys, weren't they?
Well, yes. it is a male authoritarian society. And as such, the women, if you ever just, I love to go to Shipshawana and watch. I like to come down to Sarasota to Pinecraft, where all the wealthy Amish vacation every year. My parents actually just got back from there. They winter in Sarasota every winter and they have a home down there. And I love to sit and just watch the Amish women interact, and they're very submissive, and not just what they say, but their attitudes, and it's so fascinating. I'm fascinated by my people. I didn't fit the mold, obviously. I do have great respect for the women of my culture, and I respect deeply many of the men, even though they are almost entirely are emotionally unavailable, stoic, and it's that German heritage. It's a bloodline
that is so
strong.
Yeah, I know a lot about that. I think, well, you know, my husband is German, and I know about that. The Germans are very stoic people. They very, very, very much are. And one of the things you had said was that you made sure your children got a great education. Isn't it true that the girls that grew up Amish were only allowed to go, am I correct, till eighth grade?
That is correct.
Okay. But the boys were able to continue on and go to university. Is that correct?
No. They do not educate their youth, because what happens when people become educated, it broadens the horizon. It broadens the thought processes, and then arises curiosity. And you see, and so they don't want their youth educated. Of course they don't. See, when I was a child, I discovered where my father, who is a brilliant man, and he had a stash of books, worldly books, in his secretary desk, which he kept locked. But I knew where the key was.
Right.
And so, I was a rebel even then.
I love
and,
it.
So I snuck the books, and I was reading Hemingway, Steinbeck, Capote, Fitzgerald. I mean, I think I read The Grapes of Wrath 12 times by the time I reached 12 years of age. I was fascinated with Steinbeck.
You had such a zest for learning, didn't you? Such a craving.
Oh, I still do. That has never left. I see it in my children. My son is now studying for a master's in business at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is about 20 minutes from where I live.
Wow.
And my children also live nearby. So, South Bend is not far from Elkhart. They're sister cities.
Right.
And
right.
Elkhart is where I live. And I see that thirst in my children. I'm so grateful that they were in the environment where they could pursue that without repercussion, as I suffered.
Right, right. And I was reading an article somewhere, and I think these numbers go back to 2005, but I was kind of surprised by these numbers. They said that more than 80% of Amish teens tired of the fast-paced life in what they called the English world, returned to be baptized to join the Amish church, and that more than 90% of them actually stayed in the Amish community. Do you think those numbers are fairly consistent with today's times?
I think they probably are. And the reason that's just a very, very complex, fascinating dynamic, because I think what happens is these kids sometimes leave for reasons that have nothing to do with personal growth. They want to go out in the world and be wild children for a while.
Okay.
Whereas my motivation for leaving, and people like myself who think the same way, I use myself as an example. I left because I wanted to get my children out of an abusive environment.
Mm-hmm.
That was my motivation. That's all I cared about.
I
did not want my son growing up thinking it was okay to abuse women. And he's grown up into the most wonderful young man, very courteous, very respectful of women. Had I stayed in that environment, and that's not just true about the Amish culture, it's true in any society.
Children
learn what they live and live what they learn.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. I said there's a big difference here. What you did was extraordinary, because in normal society, you will have, for instance, a female who's growing up in an abusive family. But the families that surround her, her social network, hopefully are not experiencing the abuse, and so they can reach out to others, and they have that. They have the ability to look at what would be, quote-unquote,
yes,
a normal family. But you didn't have that,
yes,
did you? So you didn't have the normalcy surrounding you.
Well, I have to really emphasize, I grew up in a home that was actually I have wonderful parents. My father was stoic and aloof, and still is, but he was a very good man. And my mother she's an angel that walks among us. I just adore her. And very sweet, very kind. Her God self is highly, highly evolved. Let me just put it that way. It was once I was married into this very toxic, disturbed family that would be toxic and disturbed and damaged, considered that in any society. But
correct,
in the Amish, when you're in that situation, I was in that situation and had no one to turn to. I tried to talk to my father, who I adore, and he told me to go home and be a good wife.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, yeah. And it's hard
And Dr. Jenny, even today, I realize, and I'm still learning. I'm writing, working on another book right now.
Which is entitled?
Spirit Damaged.
Oh,
Journal of an Amish Girl 2.
Oh.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
I'm going to do a whole series.
I love
I'm
it. And I'll read each and every one.
I know you will, sweetie. But I look back, and I've learned so much, and I realize that part of the reason that even years after my divorce, I've been divorced for over well, 22 years. And even now, I am still drawn to aloof, emotionally unavailable, self-indulgent, narcissistic, misogynistic, need I go on, kind
you
of
need
men.
Not. I know.
And I'm drawn, I'm irreversibly drawn. It's almost like an addiction on a cellular level.
It's your comfort
And I
level.
Realize,
mm-hmm.
pardon?
It's your comfort level. It's what's in your subconscious.
And
that's why
I realize
happening.
That I'm still trying to resolve that
mm-hmm.
that aloof, stoic relationship I had with my father, where there were never any embraces, any hugs, never any I love yous, never.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe to this day my father has ever said to me in those words, I love you. My mother tells me that all the time. But my
right.
father, his actions show that he loves me. But the words are never verbalized.
Tell me, have they read the book you wrote?
You know, I'm not sure. I know what my mother has. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if my father has. They have never mentioned it to me.
Either
I'm a best-selling author, and they have never mentioned it. I had I was a keynote speaker at a women's convention down in well, it was actually a book club. There were men there as well.
Mm-hmm.
A huge convention down in Indianapolis. That's my capital city. And I called my parents. They're progressive Amish. They have a phone.
Good.
I invited them to come to that speaking engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, they were out of town, and so I just left a message. And they never returned the call. They never acknowledged it. My mother calls me two or three times a week. She never mentioned it, not once.
Wow.
She
okay.
never said how was that big convention? How was that? It never mentioned it.
Well, I guess
to
mention it, yeah, would almost be an acceptance of it, and she can't accept it as such, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
If I may, I want to just read a small part on the back of the book of what the book was about, because I have a couple of questions about that. Would that be okay?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Raised in an old order Amish family, Rachel, much like many young girls, dreamed of living a life of joy and freedom. However, her stringent upbringing prevented her from embracing the life she imagined. A separate God, by yourself, Lucinda Stryker Schmidt, follows Rachel through her pilgrimage from beneath the shackles of oppression, abuse, and dissatisfaction into the pillar of the liberty of self-discovery. After years of reluctantly submitting to the rigid principles, Rachel finally finds the courage to resist the old order Amish structure and discover healing from a culture which altered far more than just her appearance and habits. So what I have to ask you, is this very close to being autobiographical?
Yes, it is. It is copyrighted as a fiction based on actual events.
Okay.
So there are large portions of that book are true. The abuse, the incest, that's true. I've changed all names. I tried very hard to protect the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And to protect myself from litigation. But
amen.
But it is primarily factual. Michael, the outsider, the young man that I fell so deeply in love with,
mm-hmm.
and is categorically probably the only man I've ever really loved.
And we all
want to
know. What happened?
That's my big question. What happened?
Well, read my second book.
Didn't we know she would say that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Michael and I reconnect.
Okay, good.
And
good.
In the second book, I for years never knew what happened to him. He is actually in the Napa Valley. He is a owner of several vineyards and makes Napa Valley wine.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad man to get to know again.
Well, this is very true. And the second book is kind of a sequel to the first one.
Okay. Well, I know I can't wait, and I'm sure our listeners can't wait.
Well, my readers are incessantly bombarding me through my website. When is your book done? How far have you gone?
Right? Yes, because they want to know. You can't blame them. You left us in the lurch. We need to find out what happens to Rachel. Now, I kind of have an idea because I know that Rachel was somewhat fiction based on truth, but a lot of our listeners don't know. So, and Jessica keeps asking, and I keep telling her she has to wait till the second book comes out too. So, that's how it goes.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's you're going to find it fascinating as a psychologist, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Ginny. You will find it fascinating, the discoveries I made.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That's all my publisher will allow me to say.
Fair enough. Now, you know, I know we've got some callers that have been calling in. They would like to ask you a question or two. Would you mind answering a few questions from some of our listeners?
Oh, not at all. Sure. Fine.
Okay, great. Well, then I'm going to put, it looks like this is, Sue is on the line live. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. You're live.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Ginny, Miss Jessica, and Miss Lucinda.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. I want to tell you that I absolutely admire your courage and your willingness to pursue a better way for yourself and for your children. I think that's a very, very wonderful thing that you've done. You took a big risk doing that.
Actually, it was. Thank you. It was God.
Yes, and that's what I really, you know, I wanted to say is that, you know, when we have questions, it means that we need answers, and when we get our answers, we are growing. And so when we keep on, you know, when the questions keep coming to us, and we have to search for the answers, it's actually, I feel, leading us into a very, very good path. And I was wondering, was there anything definitive that you can remember that really kind of triggered you to pursue at the time that you did?
Well, I think for many years, most of my life, actually, even as a very small child, I questioned why we did things in a certain way. And in fact, I would ask my mother, do people on the outside have a separate God? That's what gave birth to the title. I don't know that there was an absolute trigger, except that I knew I had to leave, I had to get away, was the was really the abuse and the incest that I witnessed. It was I was never a victim of incest, only by being in close proximity and witnessing what happened. And mm-hmm. I knew that it was just so wrong. I knew even then, uneducated as I was, that it was horribly toxic and very, very disturbed, damaged behavior. And I wanted to get my children away from it. I didn't want my son to witness his own father slapping his mother around and shoving her around, shoving her downstairs. And it was physically, emotionally, mentally abusive, and I had to get away.
I definitely appreciate the wisdom that and the strength that God had given you to get out of the situation.
I praise Him 500 times a day.
Amen. That's wonderful. Is divorce frowned upon in the Amish society?
It's not only is it frowned upon, it doesn't happen. That's why I had to wait until I was no longer a member in order to even file. It's just not even acknowledged. It just doesn't happen. They see, here's what I want to emphasize. There is so much beauty in that culture, and there are so many very, very happy, beautiful families. It is not any different from the outside world. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is when the ugly happens, the women and children have no voice. They have no one to turn to.
Great way to describe that.
But for the most part, I mean, there's many beautiful families and happy, well-adjusted people their comfort level is that culture. And I'm a firm believer that people should live where their comfort level is,
mm-hmm.
unless it is detrimental or damaging.
Right. Absolutely.
Am I saying that right, Dr. Jenny?
Yes, absolutely. I would agree with you 100%. Just because you live a life that's different from somebody else doesn't make it wrong, and it doesn't make it right. I think what we each find acceptable for ourselves is acceptable. The only time that a change needs to be made is if, for instance, there is abuse going on, or if perhaps that person feels like they're not able to grow the way they want to grow. So, and I guess that's the
right.
point that you try to make all the time, Lucinda, is that it's not that the Amish community is bad, not in any sense of the word. There are bad parts about the Amish community, just like there are bad parts about the Catholic Church, of things that have gone on that's been in the media, for the last 20
Absolutely.
Years or so that's been hideous. Yeah. So
absolutely. And I know a lot of good Catholics. My daughter's Catholic. She joined
Yay.
The Catholic Church. Well, she joined the Catholic Church because she married a double domer. Her husband has 2 degrees from Notre Dame. And they wanted to get married in the Basilica at Notre Dame on the campus.
Wow.
And the Basilica is a beautiful, breathtaking temple of God. And
mm-hmm.
they wanted to get married. And in order for them to be married in the Basilica, they had to both be Catholic. And so she chose to join the Catholic Church, and I am very supportive. I had many right-wing Republican types say to me, how can you accept her joining the Catholic Church? And I'm still astounded by that. My daughter, that was her, that's her choice. And it's a beautiful, beautiful philosophy that Catholicism is. And why would I just don't get that. I still don't.
I know. Well, that's because you're such an open-minded person, and you know that being a spiritual person is more important than which denomination you practice. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is extremely more important. It is. It takes absolute precedence over any denomination or any kind of religious rules and regulations. Spirituality, being having that very close spiritual connection to the God Spirit, to Father God, that's it right there.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah. You and I, Dr. Jenny, we must have been sisters in a past life. We think so.
Well, I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure of it. We hit it off from the first time we ever spoke, so I would agree with you there.
The very first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I was wondering if some of our listeners, I know people who haven't been to an Amish community or realize what goes on in the day of an Amish teen, for instance, could you describe what a typical day would be like?
Well, I can remember this. We always got up very early, usually around 5 o'clock. And
but how did
you know,
know it was time to get up? Because you didn't have like an alarm clock, right?
No. We just woke up at that. And you know what? I still do.
See,
I get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning. I just wake up and I start. And that's when I write. Is early mornings is when I write, and I do meditation, and I do my communion with my Father God, and that's early mornings. And anyway, so they get up, and they have, most Amish homes have, not all of them, but many of them have cows to milk, cattle to feed, eggs to gather, and that's the first thing they do early morning. Then, after that, they come inside and have breakfast, which usually it's country food. It consists, I'm vegetarian now, but back then we would eat bacon and eggs and fried potatoes and all that really greasy, fattening country stuff. But you know what? None of my family, we're all very thin people. All my whole family. You know, I weigh 110 pounds soaking wet. Pardon?
But you grew up with a lot of manual labor. I mean, that was just second nature to you, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And then the men typically would go off to outside jobs. Many of them are carpenters, as Jesus was. And the women would stay home and take care of the children and the home. And frequently they would get together socially, the women would do quilting and sewings and clean each other's homes. Really beautiful practices. And the school-age children would go to an Amish private school, typically a country school, one room, which is what I attended through 8 years. Yeah.
Okay, and that actually is a question I have, and it's something that it's I have to ask this question. You know, there was the Amish school shooting out in Nickel Mine.
Right. What a
and
tragedy.
That wasn't too, I mean, that, yeah, I know you're in Indiana, is where your community was, but I'm sure, you know, you certainly knew about it and probably more than anyone else. They had such an emphasis on forgiveness when that happened. It was such a who can, it was just such an awful thing that happened. But the community came together. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the community really pulled it. That, see, you hit the nail right on the head. That community is everything. If you go to my YouTube, I have an interview on YouTube, and my sister is on there with me. It's called Amish Secrets.
Ooh.
Amish Secrets on YouTube, yeah. In fact, my website is aseparategod.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can actually access my YouTube video through aseparategod.com. It's my author website.
And for anybody who needs to, I also have a link to Lucinda's site on my site. So if you didn't write it down, you can go to my site too. But definitely aseparategod.com, just like the title of the book. Definitely go there because you can read up a lot about Lucinda and where she's going to be going and what event she's going to be at.
My sister Laura is on the YouTube, and my daughter is on the YouTube video with me on the secret.
Oh, I have to go see it.
Yeah, you'll see my daughter and my sister Laura, who left the community after I did. Well, I was the first in my family to leave. And now there are only 2 out of 9 siblings left in the old order. My poor Amish bishop father.
Well, and you just said old order. You just said that, right? Because before you said your parents were part of the progressive order, so they have a phone. But I thought that you were raised in an old order Amish family. So did they change?
Oh, I was. Okay. Oh, yes, I was. My very Orthodox. But my parents have really... I think it's watching their children who have fallen away from the old ways. I
mm-hmm.
think they watch us, and they've become far more progressive in the last even 10 years. They have a phone in their home now,
which is
that
amazing.
Would have never happened.
Right,
and when
I
they're
actually...
in Florida, when they're Yeah, when they're in their home in Florida, they have electricity. They have a microwave. Of course, they don't have a TV, but they have a coffee maker. It's really entertaining.
How did your mom ever want to leave vacation? I mean, none of us want to come home from vacation, but for them, vacation has a whole new meaning.
Electricity.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They have a lot of freedom down there in Sarasota, and
yeah.
they enjoy every minute of it. I guarantee
wow.
it.
God bless.
I think
you're right. I think a lot of it is because they've seen how their children have been very open-minded to technology. I actually read recently that a lot of the bishops in the Amish communities do actually have computers that they use. Is that true?
That is correct. My brother owns, all my siblings own businesses. We're all very entrepreneurial.
Well, I know you are.
All my siblings are. My brother, who is still in the Old Order Amish Church, he is still a practicing member. He is one of the two that stayed. He owns a very, very successful tool and die company. And the whole, yeah, he has computers all over the place. Yeah.
Wow. That's just so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, how it had to be for you. You know what? I've got another caller. We've got several on the line. If you don't mind, I'm going to put another caller through. Her name is Linda, and I think she has some questions for you, Lucinda. Let's see if I can unmute her here. Hi, Linda,
sure.
You're live with the Christian Psychic Cafe, and you're on with Lucinda.
Hi to all of you tonight.
Hi, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Linda.
Good, how are you? Lucinda, my question for you is, when you decided to leave and take your children with you, what was the reaction in your order?
Oh, I was ostracized. Severely. I was censored. I mean, it, to them, what I did was unconscionable. However, when I told my parents that I was divorcing my abusive husband, I saw relief wash over both of their faces. They didn't say a word. They didn't have to. They knew. But the community as a whole, they ostracized me severely, censored, and it was unconscionable what I did.
Was it shunning?
Yeah. Oh, yes,
shunned?
Big time. I sure was.
What about your children?
Excommunicated and shunned.
What about your children?
Yes. Now, my children were not, because they were never a member of the church. I was a baptized member. And see, that's what I'm saying. It's that sense of community. The Amish believe, they believe in the Trinity. They believe in God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ. However, how should I say this? It is unknowingly they place more importance on following the rules and regulations of their community. And that's just how it is. And since I was a member of the church, I was shunned. My children were never a member, and so they were not shunned.
Well, actually, how old were you when you left?
I was, let me think. I got married at 15, divorced. I was probably 23 years old. 23 years old, yeah.
And you just packed them up? You just packed them up and took them away?
Well, actually,
I mean,
when my book is also on Kindle.
Okay, good. I was just curious if they just allowed you to leave the order.
I initially left the order with my husband, my ex-husband, because I knew that was the only way I could get out. And I told him, I said, I'm leaving. I can't do this anymore. That would not be my personal truth. Back then, I didn't know that verbiage. But that's what I was saying, that I have to go. And he said, well, I'll go with you. This is not where I want to be. I knew that I would not stay with him. I instinctively knew that he would hit me again. He would continue to subject me to the demeaning, demoralizing antics. I knew he would. And he did. And so after we were apart from the community, I had made connections on the outside of people who could help me leave that abusive situation and take my children out of that. And that's how that came about. And it's pretty accurately described in A Separate God, because Rachel is she's actually me with some embellishments. Maybe I changed situations somewhat to kind of hide the identity of the innocent and to protect myself from litigation, like I said.
Sure. Well, I admire you so much and want to thank you for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Linda, for calling. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
The one thing that I find, I've read the book, I've read it actually several times, and It's always hard for me because I just think of Rachel as you, Lucinda, and I don't know, but I have a very, very good idea where fact goes to fiction. But for the most part, I think that everything that happened in that book to Rachel basically happened to you, correct?
You are absolutely correct.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, there's some things that I think that I would like our listeners just to read about because it had to be hard enough to write about, let alone speak about. But it was pretty amazing. And again, I think everybody applauds what you've done and the wonderful human being that not only you were, but also that you've grown to be as well, you know, because it was
Thank you, that means so much to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And we are now going to have to ask this question, which we have to, Spirit Damaged, Journal of an Amish Girl 2, when is that coming out?
Well, you know, when I get it finished, my publisher wanted it yesterday. But
of course.
I travel so much with a separate God, that book, that I fit in my writing when I can, and also when the spirit moves me.
Mm-hmm.
Writing is something that you can't force.
Right.
And so, but the second book is, it is far more universal in its appeal and probably more powerful than the first book. Because I'm a different person now.
And you see things from a different perspective. So I think that's a big difference, you know?
Exactly. And you know, my publicist said that I could read an excerpt from Spirit Damaged to kind of give you an idea.
We're ready.
I, on another note, became a crumb-taking queen. I accepted demeaning remarks and treatment from emotionally adolescent men with unquestioning tolerance. I was irreversibly drawn to pathologically self-indulgent men with hugely unresolved Oedipal complexes. Don't you love that?
I love that.
I was subconsciously convinced that it was acceptable to be a victim of emotional vampires, and that is just the way life is. My latest friend in the string of suitors I've entertained since my divorce 20 years ago is a prime example. Seth is a surgeon in a large hospital in the state capital city. Handsome, accomplished, and brilliant, he was initially warm, engaging, and solicitous. In a short time, however, the aloof, controlling behaviors began emerging. He was deeply scarred and emotionally damaged, maybe the result of a bad marriage, and also, I'm quite sure, some childhood trauma he never spoke of. He said he felt empty and emotionally dead. Perfect. Another troubled man for me to fix.
Wow.
There you go.
I love it.
Now, how many millions of women do you think will relate to that?
I can tell you that at least 70% of my clients, especially.
No kidding.
Because I, you know, we talk about things like that. So, yes, of course. I mean, you know, I would love the ability to write a book and be able to say those things sometimes. You know, we don't have the talent.
I love to write. I love it. It's my passion. I love to write. I love it.
Well,
if I had my way, I would sit right here in my little lake cottage and watch the swans and the ducks and sit out there on the pier and write every day.
I can believe it.
But I can't.
where you don't have the time. Plus, you know, I mentioned you're a successful business owner. You're an entrepreneur. You've got so many things going on in your life. I'm wondering how you find the time to write. Do you feel like you're making up for lost time sometimes?
Yes. Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. There's so much that I still want to do. Yes.
Okay. Now, I've got some questions I'm just dying to ask, and if I don't get them out, I'm going to be mad at myself. They're silly, but they've got to be asked, okay? Has anyone ever produced a picture book of Amish people?
No, they have not, but that will be a book that I do after this one.
Beautiful.
Because the one I'm working on now, and I may put some photographs that I pretty much stole. I took them in Shipshawana, and I have I have some photographs of my parents that they don't know I took. And I would have to get their permission. But I put my mother on Facebook.
Good for you.
And here's the funny part. She knows it. And she doesn't seem to mind at all.
It's
my mother. It's my mother and I and my daughter.
Okay. Great. I'm going to have to look for that. I can't wait to see it now. That's
great.
Oh,
I think it's still on there. I don't know for sure, but some of the Amish bishops found out about it and were pitching an absolute fit. So someone may have taken it off because a lot of the Amish kids are on Facebook.
Right. But they are.
And nobody knows they're Amish kids, but they are.
Well, isn't the theory that if your picture's taken, the belief, what was the belief with that?
Oh, I don't know, that your soul gets sucked out?
No, actually, they believe that if they have photographs made of themselves, that it then becomes a pagan god, like a god that they're serving rather than Father God, than the Lord
God.
Okay, they think
sense.
It's pagan.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, a picture book of Amish people would be a huge seller because no one's ever seen one.
No, they're just not. They don't let they don't allow their pictures to be taken, except there's this Amish girl that lives on a lake in northern Indiana, and she writes books, and she has an amazing camera that she sometimes takes over to Shipshawana, and she kind of sneaks pictures of these Amish children and these Amish mothers, and that would be me. I have a whole collection of those photographs.
Oh, Lucinda, I'm telling you.
They have no idea.
Oh, no, I'm telling you I just think it would be so educational for so many people. I mean, I truly do. And then, of course, the question is, why do Amish men not have beard? Or they have beards, but no mustaches.
You know, I have no idea. I don't know.
Wait,
I asked my father
the Amish
that
girl
one.
From Corn Country.
I'm the Amish girl from Corn Country, and I don't know. I asked my father that one time.
Okay.
I said, why is it that Amish men don't have mustaches?
Right.
And he said, well, that's just one of our regulations. And in the second book, I go into that a little bit more in depth, where my father says that he learned that it was better to just follow the rules because it made his life easier, and it was good for him. And I seriously doubt that because my father is the stuff that world leaders are made of. And there were times in my childhood that's why my father produced 9 amazing children. We're all of us are not that I'm completely. I am of all my siblings. I am the least brilliant. My siblings are all brilliant. I am like nothing compared to my siblings. I mean, my siblings are doctors and lawyers. I mean, I'm just a writer, you know.
Just a writer. you're so very humble.
I'm just nothing compared to them. And my father was that's the stuff he's made of, and the stuff that world leaders are made of. And I would detect many times, even as a child, his unrest, and he forced himself to just grin and bear it, so to speak. Wow, I could not do that, but he
God
did.
God bless. And you didn't do that, and you created an incredible life that you're still creating. You're still painting your life, and you will continue to do so. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I truly appreciate you spending so much time with us. I want to tell everybody to check out Lucinda's website, aseparategod.com, or pick up the book, A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl. You can get it from Amazon.com or any of the major retail national booksellers. Her new book, I don't have a coming out date yet, but it's going to be called Spirit Damage, Journal of an Amish Girl 2. So look for it, everybody. Lucinda, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you.
And same back to you, sweetie. We'll be talking soon, okay?
Okay, Dr. Jenny. Good night.
Good night now. And everybody, we're going to take a break. Okay, bye-bye. We're going to play Lucinda out with a wonderful song that is not meant to be irreverent, and I did get her approval before I decided to play the song.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, if I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores and you finish thine, then tonight we're gonna party like it's 1699. We've been spending most of our lives living in an Amish paradise. A churn butter once or twice, living in an Amish paradise. It's hard work and sacrifice, living in an Amish paradise. We sell quilts at discount price, living in an Amish paradise. A local boy kicked me in the butt last week. I just smiled at him and I turned the other cheek. I really don't care, in fact I wish him well, 'cause I'll be laughing my head off when he's burning in hell. But I ain't never punched a tourist, even if he deserved it. An Amish with a tool, you know that's unheard of. I never wear buttons, but I got a cool hat, and my homies agree I really look good in black, fool. If you come to visit, you'll be bored to tears. We haven't even paid the phone bill in 300 years. But we ain't really quaint, so please don't point and stare. We're just technologically impaired. There's no phone, no light, no motor car, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's as primitive as can be. We've been spending most of our lives living in an Amish paradise. We're just plain and simple guys living in an Amish paradise. There's no time for sin and vice living in an Amish paradise. We don't fight, we all play nice living in an Amish paradise.
Hitching up the buggy, churning lots of butter. Raise a barn on Monday, soon I'll raise another. Think you're really righteous? think you're pure at heart, when I know I'm a million times as humble as thou art. I'm the pious guy, the little omelette wanna be like, on my knees day and night, scoring points for the afterlife. So don't be vain, and don't be whiny, or else my brother, I might have to get medieval on your hiney.
We've been spending most of our lives living in
You're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. That was Weird Al Yankovic's rendition of Amish Paradise.
And that's such a funny song.
It's an old song. It's been out a while. Mm-hmm. Again, wonderful thanks to Lucinda Stryker.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Really fun to have her on. And I want to thank Linda and Sue for calling in and asking some really great questions.
Yeah.
Again, I think a lot of people are able to hear there's a natural delay on the line when we take calls.
Right.
And so you feel like you're stepping all over each other. Yeah, it always makes me feel better though when somebody's talking to a guest and they step on them
mm-hmm.
too. So I know it's just not me blabbering on.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We've got another caller waiting on the line. It looks like we've got Jody on the line. Hi, Jody. You're live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Jenny. I just wanted to find out what's going to happen with my financial situation because I'm in the process of getting married.
Ooh, well, first of all, congratulations on the upcoming nuptials. That's very, very good. And what's going to happen in your financial situation? Let's take a look here.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I think that your financial situation is going to steadily increase. I don't see like a huge, like, you know, coming out of the chute, bam, a large sum of cash coming in all at once, but I see a gradual, steady progression in your financial status over the next 6 to 8 months. So that'll continue to grow. And then
okay. And then
in about 8 months, it'll steady off, and that's about what you'll have for about the next year.
Okay. All right. That sounds really good.
Okay. Any other questions I can answer for you?
Any other questions? No, actually, what I would like to do is kind of thank you for everything that you do for me. You have been a spiritual counselor to me and helped me take steps towards the future that I now have. So I really just wanted to thank you. And
you're amazing.
It's really amazing how life turns out when you're open to change instead of being afraid.
Mm.
And
it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you have taught me to trust myself and to trust God. And
Amen.
Absolutely.
You've taught me courage.
Yeah.
Well,
you really have. You've helped me immensely, and I think you're one of the most humble people I have ever known.
Well, God bless you for saying that. You know I give all the glory to God. And
I know you do.
It takes so much courage to come through because I know who you are, and I know it took a lot of courage to break away and to step out of your comfort zone and to open yourself up and make some changes that you made. You know, we were talking to Lucinda, and it took a lot of courage for what she did, but it took a real lot of courage for what you did, too, and you made such incredible changes in your life that were so positive. And you did. You learned to depend on yourself, on your inner voice. You have a great spiritual strength about you.
Thank you.
And you just need to keep following that, you know, because now you know that voice, that voice that comes from the angels, the Holy Spirit, whoever you know that it's coming from.
Right.
It's coming, and you just have to listen to it.
And that's what I've been open to do because you helped me to be able to trust myself and to take that step. I kind of felt like I was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 15-year marriage, not being happy, going down, I guess, a wrong road with a friend, and finding my way to the one thing that I've missed probably throughout 18 years of being separated from my fiancé, who I was with before.
Right.
And I don't know, it's just amazing how God works. Because
we hadn't
seen each other in 18 years, and here we are, now we're getting married.
Which is phenomenal. And if you don't mind, and if you do, just say don't go there. But the one thing I will say is that, and again, stop me, you had gotten a little desperate at one point because you knew that you were unhappy. And
absolutely.
You needed to make some changes. And you fell, I will have to say, prey to some scams that were out there. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I reached out to, my God, everybody and their grandmother as far as people that took advantage of me and took money from me and told me that I was surrounded by bad energy and I needed to get that out of me or I would never have happiness. And I've done some really, really desperate things, including selling jewelry that was special to me and given to me mm-hmm. by my family. And matter of fact, the one woman actually went with me to the pawn shop and watched me sell things that were very important to me. And you got me away from all that.
Yeah. And it's,
I'll never be able to thank you enough.
You did that. It took courage to do what you did. And the only reason why I asked you to mention that is because other people have gone down that same road. You know, sometimes when we're desperately looking for answers, we're looking for an answer, and we're going to do anything it takes. And when somebody's got your ear and they're telling you something, it may not make 100% sense, but you're so desperate
right.
to find the answers. You know,
or you want to believe what they're saying
exactly.
because, you know, you feel like at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
But what I
exactly.
did that was even worse, I reached out to so many, and I got myself confused because when the one person would tell me something, I wanted to back it up with another person, and it was just money was
validate,
just going like
validate.
Crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely. I needed that validation at the time in such a dark place in my life. And, you know,
through positive thinking, through your faith, through your belief in God, through
absolutely.
Prayer. Right?
Absolutely.
And that's where
And
it's
I felt like
that's
I was protected.
Mm-hmm. And you were.
I really did.
You know that.
Yeah.
You really were protected. And that's, if there's any message that we can share tonight with people, it's that even in the most dire situations, don't give up on your faith. Never give up on God because he never gives up on you.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And you know what? Change is possible. Having the courage to make the change happens one day at a time. And look how incredible your life is right now and is going to continue to be, by the way.
Incredible. I have never been this happy in my entire life. And for the first time, I'm experiencing what love is.
Isn't that incredible?
I felt dead before, and now I just feel completely alive.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen to that. Well, many blessings to you and to BB. And you know who
Thank
that
you.
Is.
Thank you.
You're
yes,
very,
I do.
Very welcome. And I appreciate you calling in tonight. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far.
Oh, I have. Absolutely. And I really love that song.
I know.
That was hilarious.
I sure hope Lucinda, when she gave me the approval to play it, knew what it was saying, but it wasn't all that irreverent. It was quite fun, and I'm sure she enjoyed it. Jody, thanks so much for calling in. You have a wonderful evening, and again,
give BB
a hug,
Jamie.
Okay? You're welcome.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye.
You too now. Bye-bye. Delightful. We're very, very, very good, good, kind person.
It sounds like you made a huge difference in her life.
She is an incredible person because when she called me, she had just gone through a round of these people we see on the Internet, what I like to call psychic scams. And if you look up psychic scam on the Internet, you will see all the things that were perpetrated on her. And, you know, you could sit, anyone could sit and put themselves, you know, on a pedestal and say, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. But the truth is, it happens to so many people.
I can imagine.
And, you know, we all have gone through times in our lives where we're so desperate to find answers and we're miserable and we need to make a change, but we're just looking for the daylight.
Right.
And she was looking for the daylight, and she did get taken advantage of. But here's the most incredible thing about her is that she found the strength to say, okay, I messed up. Remember we talked about that on the show about looking in the mirror and recognize, and she did. She said, okay, I messed up. Okay, I shouldn't have believed these people, and I did it. But I'm not. I realize that now, and now I'm choosing to make a change.
Right.
And she did make a change, and then she put steps in place to make a change and got out of an abusive relationship that was very abusive, and has now she's doing so great, and now she's engaged to be married to a wonderful guy.
Yeah, she's so happy.
And they're truly soulmates. They're
well,
truly
that's awesome.
Soulmates. So
good
it's,
for
it's,
her.
It's great, and I'm so glad she called in because I know. For her, that's even a hard thing to do because she's a very private person with literally the voice of an angel, which is pretty cool. She was kind enough to send me. She sings at her church, and she was kind enough to send me a CD.
I thought she had a nice voice.
Yeah, she has a beautiful voice. You should hear her sing. Truly an angel. Truly. We'll be back in two.
For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made. For all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made so true, for all the love I found in you, I'll be forever thankful, baby. You're the one who held me up, never let me fall. You're one who saw
you're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. What a great night. Really enjoyed our guest list.
Oh, yeah,
and I hope
awesome.
Everybody gets her book. You know, we have Mother's Day coming up. And I think you also have a birthday the very next day, don't you, Jessica?
I know. We don't want to think about that.
Okay, now wait a second. I want to figure this out. Now,
don't go counting, please.
Okay, y'all who are listening, y'all, oh my gosh,
y'all.
I just said y'all.
Wow,
okay,
you've become
I've been
Southern.
In Florida too long. Jessica and I have known each other for 33 years, and so that's a
well,
long time.
Well, now you tell people that, they're going to say, okay, let me calculate in my head.
When
how
I
old...
was but a mere twinkle in my father's eye, and so, what's the point? Well, I've always teased Jessica because she's just a very tad bit older than me. And I've
very, very, very small, teeny tiny tad.
Yes, but your math skills are so phenomenal. So how many years or how many months are you older than me?
I am 9. How? I don't know. I don't know. It's not a year. It could be a year. It's like 9 months.
It's 14 months, but who's counting?
No, it's not.
It really is, but I tease her about it every time.
And, you know, you get to a certain age in your life that you just, you know, when you're in your 20s, oh, yay, 30s, yay. Get to your 40s, and then you start thinking,
you're going, yay?
Not yay anymore.
No, I know. Well, you know what it is, because, and it's a mindset, really, you know, but I know, you get to that certain age where all of a sudden it's that cement barrier,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to go over this one.
Right.
You know? Of course, the alternative.
And I've kind of crested that wall.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. And I'm going to be cresting that wall, and I don't want to crest that wall. So I'm letting you own it.
Thanks.
You now own that wall, which is why I like to tease you. And it's the same reason I like to tease my sister. Only people who are older than me. So people that are younger than me, I never mention it because I don't like to mention it, you know. So just saying, you know. So what are your big plans?
Well, actually, this weekend, my nephew is getting married this summer, so they're having the bridal shower at my sister's, so going to that, and then coming back on Sunday for Mother's Day / my birthday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you're not going to Alexander Springs?
Yes, Alexander Springs. That's a story that you can talk about because it's an embarrassing moment in my life.
I'm going to tell this to you. I don't care if you mind. I'm going to tell it anyway.
It's an embarrassing moment that you like to tell everyone about.
I love it because it was so. It's one of those moments where you just okay. Let me set the scenario for you. I think it was your birthday. I think. And we were up at Alexander Springs with the kids, and that's this beautiful Clearwater spring in the Ocala Forest area. I mean, you can see all the way down to the bottom as far as the sunlight will illuminate, and it's beautiful. And so the kids were a little bit younger, and they were playing and swimming, and they had their little vests on, and half of them were playing in the sand, and the other half were in the water, and we're kind of watching them. And you turn to me and you say, it's not very deep here, is it? And I said, no. And then a gentleman was in the water.
Oh, no.
And he said, he started talking to us.
Uh-huh.
And as he's talking to us, Jessica, in her infinite wisdom, turns to me and says, look, see, it's obviously deeper where he's standing. Why is it not deep here? I want to get in the cooler water. And then I just gave her that look like, oh, dear God, I can't believe you just said that, because he was a little person.
I know.
And then he went to get out of the water, and you realized.
Well, as he walked out of the water, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was a wee little person.
Yes,
from
he was.
The
and that was.
Of Oz, and
he gave me the look of death.
I'll never forget. I think of that, and I laugh, and that's a great thing because laughter cures everything, according to our show on the 25th
yeah.
that's coming up. It just cracks me up. You just cannot imagine the look on her face when she realized that he was a small person.
Well, yes, as you're laughing hysterically beyond belief.
It was great. It's one of those moments I like to relive as often as I can.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so you know what? We didn't do our email for this week, you know?
Right.
And we always get a lot of email, and last week we always mentioned that we're going to have a drawing from all the emails that we receive, and everything goes into a big box. And we don't read all the emails on air because there's just so many of them, but you all are entered into the drawing for a free 30-minute reading with me. And so drop us a line and, you know, just say hi or just want to be entered into the drawing or whatever. And you could do that by going to www.drginny.com. That's drginny.com and click on the Contact Me page and fill out your info, and you'll get entered into the drawing. And you stay in that drawing, by the way. We don't take you out. We keep you in the drawing, so you always have a chance. If you're not chosen that week, perhaps you might be chosen the week after. And so now what I'd like to say is we're going to do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes down to the mailbox and go. Yes, and I win again.
Why does this keep happening?
Because you silly told me you always do scissors. I always
and I
off.
Do it every time.
Go down to the mailbox. I think that laugh is mine. I think I'm scared. So what have we got in the email?
Oh, there is a bunch in here.
Let's see.
Let me see. Here, I'll give you one.
Okay. I'll take this one. Okay. Do you want to read yours first, or you want me to read? Or?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, this is from Marilyn G. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Marilyn writes, "Hi, girls. I'm really looking forward to hearing your guests this week. I grew up outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and am very fond of Amish culture. They have a lot of very good ideas and morals. Found this joke. Hope you enjoy it. Please, that's great. Please feel free to share it with Ms. Stryker Schmidt if you think it's appropriate." Okay, there's a joke. So should I read it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure,
okay.
I'm sure it's appropriate.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay. An Amish boy and his father were visiting a mall. They were amazed by almost everything they saw, but especially by two shiny silver walls that could move apart and back together again. The boy asked his father, "What is his father?" The father, never having seen an elevator, responded, "Son, I have never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." While the boy and his father were watching wide-eyed, an old lady in a wheelchair rolled up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened, and the lady rolled between them into a small room. The walls closed, and the boy and his father watched small circles of light with numbers above the walls light up. They continued to watch the circles light up in the reverse direction. The walls opened up again, and a beautiful 24-year-old woman stepped out. The father said to his son, "Go get your mother."
That was cute. If Brenda was still listening, she would have gotten a kick out of that for sure. That's very, very good. I'm going to pop over to our chat room real quick because I see we have a question in there from Ms. Benson. And the question is, I received information about a job opportunity today. Would this be a good choice for me to pursue? And the answer to that is definitely pursue it, definitely look into it. I would say that it might have what I call finger opportunities for you, and that sounds really odd.
That sounds rude.
That sounds awful. What I mean is trickle-out effect. That job may not be the one for you, but I feel that it might open up another opportunity for a thought process to another job that then will open up, so I think it's a good idea to definitely pursue it, okay? All righty, and I'm going to grab the next one on the list here. This is from, I'm not going to say her first name, just her first initial, E. Wong of San Diego, California. "Hello, Dr. Ginny and Miss Jessica. I listened intently to your show last week on saints." Our show was on saints?
Yes,
was that
it
on
was.
Saints last week? Okay. Oh, gosh, yes.
How
remember.
Do you forget?
It was very moving for me to hear what the people had to go through to become saints. I am honored and blessed to be able to pray for their intercession daily. My question is as follows. I just recently read the Vatican was making Pope John Paul II a saint sooner than was expected. Is this true, and doesn't this break the 5-year wait rule? Well, actually, that's kind of interesting, because unlike food, you know, you have the 10-second...
I thought that was a five-second rule.
Is it five? Well, in our house, it's 10-second. It can lay there for 9.5 seconds.
Sitting there in the dirt.
You can still eat it. The truth is, Pope Benedict XVI beatified Pope John Paul II Sunday, last Sunday at St. Peter's Square. I think it was before like 1 million people, declaring that the Polish-born Pope was blessed and putting him basically one step from sainthood. Among the faithful was a French nun by the name of Sister Marie Simon Pierre, who says she was cured of Parkinson's disease after praying to the Pope only months after his death from complications of the same disease that he had, which was also Parkinson's. And she had carried a vial of his blood extracted during his long illness. So you got to love us Catholics if we're not getting beheaded
with the blood around the neck
or beliefs. But the Vatican certified Sister Pierre's cure as a miracle and advanced John Paul's cause. So beatification is defined as one being blessed, and it's the first step in the usually lengthy process of being declared a saint by a church. But the second miracle tied to John Paul is going to be needed before he can be canonized. But the interesting thing is now, because John Paul II has been beatified, more people, here's the thing. I mean, I don't know if anybody, there's a lot of Catholics out there, but I don't know if they really followed the number, the total number of people that were canonized and beatified by John Paul II. More than all the other popes since the 15th century, there were over 1,300 were beatified by John Paul II, and 482 were canonized as saints. So that's kind of led to some critics who speculate that he was rapidly pushed ahead to sainthood because of all the people that, you know, he beatified and you know, made saints. Some say that John Paul is now on the fast track to sainthood right after his death in 2005. And actually, that was confirmed, that the process actually started 1 month after his death on April 2nd of 2005. So the Catholic Church did decide to dispense with the rules that there be a five-year waiting period after a candidate's death before the process can begin. So I guess in answer to your question, Miss E. Wong of San Diego, California, it sort of does break the five-year wait rule. Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. Which is,
interesting,
isn't it? I know. It is interesting, but it also shows, you know, I mean, there's no hard and fast rule. There never has been, and there probably never will be, you know. We'll be back. Christian Psychic Cafe. You know, we've got another caller on the line, and I want to take that real quick before our time runs out, because in the infinite wisdom of the show, after 2 hours, it cuts off. So we're not allowed to go over. So I see we have a Susan on the line. Are you there, Susan?
Hello?
Yes, hi. You're on live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Jenny. Wondering if maybe you have some insight on, I've got a lot of stuff going on right now, and between work and everything that is going on in my life, if you have an insight on when things are going to change or what I have to look forward to.
Okay.
Some good news versus, because I seem like things start to get better, and then, I don't know, it's been really chaotic for me.
Okay. All right. Well, the first thing I'm going to say to you is I feel like financially, I'm sensing that it's like just when you think things are going to be okay, like something else happens. Is this correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And also apparently at your job, what I'm getting is there's been talk of you're not always so sure you're going to have a job down the road, so mm-hmm. you're always concerned about your position, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. So based on these two things that I'm seeing here, I'm going to tell you the job situation, should you be
mm-hmm.
concerned about it? Not at all. I feel that there's more fear for you. I don't know if I should just stick this out there or not. I think pretty much everything depends on your income for the most part. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I guess I worry about that a lot, you know, because I have additional worries now. But,
I
would have to say yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, and so here's the thing that I want you to know. That's why it's putting so much fear on you. It's you're thinking about what ifs, and like a computer
mm-hmm.
in your mind, you're constantly running through the probabilities. You know what I'm saying? So
Right. Don't
run through those probabilities, because you're drawing fear into a situation that there shouldn't be any. I'm going to tell you right now that, you know, unless you go in there with a machine gun or throw ice cream sundaes at everybody, you know, Monday morning, you're going to be fine, okay?
Okay.
So don't do those things.
I know. That is reassurance. It's, I guess, you know, the thing, I wish I could know, like, this job, the problem is the job itself is so stressful, too. It's not just the job security I worry about, but it's, I think, you know, well, what could I do to do something different? I've been at this job 25 years, and we know it doesn't matter the length of time. You know, you can still worry about your job, but so that's reassurance what you're telling me. But, you know, I'm also, you know, wanting to make a change, and I'm just not sure what that change is. And when you girls were speaking about age, I'm 51, so let me tell you, when you hit that age, it's even worse than the 40s, because I'm just like, I just adopted, or I'm in the process of adopting my grandchild who just turned 6.
Oh, God,
so
bless
this
you.
Age, yeah, it's been a great joy, but at the same time, it has changed my life now. It's like now instead of looking forward to the retirement, I guess I worry more. You know, I'm worried about the funds and the money and how I'm going to pay for her and support her. And, you know, so all that ties in too.
And I know there's a great worry there, but let me tell you, it's going to work out. Because this is what I have to say, and you know this to be true. All the money in
mm-hmm.
the world can't provide the love that you're going to give her.
And oh, yeah.
Everything else will come. Don't worry about the other part. It's going to be there when you need it. You'll never not have it when you need it, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
What I can say to you is with the job and looking for another job and what's going to make you happy,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, and I've used this before, but I have to say it, it's like getting in the car and driving out onto the highway and having a pocket full of money but having no idea where you want to go. Yeah, I mean,
right. Which
direction do you go in? So my advice to you is stay where you currently are, obviously.
Okay.
That's a responsible move either way.
But don't
make a move until you decide that you definitely have a direction and a focus that you're absolutely adamant about going to.
Okay.
Because right now I think there's a lot of upheaval in your life, and so you're looking
mm-hmm.
You're looking for a less stressful job, but the truth is you're very, very good at your job, and you know that as well as I do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest that you not change jobs until you have clearly defined exactly what you want. Because truth be told, I really don't think that you're going to be changing jobs. I think you're going to stay where you are for at least 2 years.
Okay.
At least 2 years. And then I see that you might take a step out and try something new, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for the next 24 months, I don't see you changing positions.
Okay. Well, yeah, and the main thing is, like, you know, I think what it is, maybe hours or something I can change down the road, I don't know. That's what I'm finding hard. I took a, you know, we all did. I mean, you know, experienced a big, huge pay cut, you know.
Of course.
And that affected a lot of things. And I guess my main thing is now that I have this child that I'm raising, I do want to spend time, and I want it to be quality time. And there's certain times that, you know, I find myself so stressed that I can't enjoy these little times, because I'm getting home at 6 o'clock, and it's time to get her dinner, get her homework done, get her a bath. Tonight, we didn't even have time to get a bath. I mean, it was that, it's so just from the moment I get up in the morning to, you know, where my other two children, I had that time because I stayed at home part of the time.
Right.
So
right.
I'm having a hard time with the time.
Okay.
I want to give her all my attention. Yeah.
But you can't, it's not quality. I mean, it's not quantity, it's quality. Okay?
It's quality, right.
And there's a lot of single moms out there in that boat, and a lot of single moms who are doing incredible jobs with their children. And those children who then grow up, become adults, and say, you know, they didn't feel like they were cheated, because you are able to give it to them in other ways. And like I said, you could have moms that are home all the time but totally absent, if you know what I mean. And we've all seen
you know what
like
you mean,
that.
Yeah.
So
I
wouldn't
know.
Worry
yeah.
about it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to do fine. Don't
okay.
worry about the quantity.
Yeah.
The quality is there, so you're going to be fine. Okay,
okay.
I want to thank you for calling in tonight.
Oh, thank you. All right.
God bless you.
Thank you. Oh, and
you're
God
welcome.
Bless you, too. Thank you.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, I want to make sure we have a chance to draw our lucky email winner for tonight.
Right.
So I'm going to let Jessica do that. Pull one out of the box. Okay, and let's see who we have. We have as our lucky email winner is Ruby from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right.
And I think
Ruby.
Actually read her email online. So Ruby from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we will be emailing you in the morning, letting you know you're the winner of a free 30-minute in-depth angel reading, and we will be able to schedule that at your convenience. Now, I want everybody to mark your calendars. Don't forget. Next week, Dysfunctional Families, The Gift That Keeps on Giving, Even Though You Want to Return It. We're going to learn how it affects us when we grow up as adults, and how we can turn that into a positive, turn it around from maybe a negative. And there's actually going to be a really great test that a psychotherapist has put together to help you determine, and we're going to do that online or on air.
To determine how dysfunctional you are?
To determine if you really are from a dysfunctional family.
Oh, interesting.
There's a series of questions that I'm going to read, and you're going to answer them at home in the privacy of your homes. And you're going to be able to find out if you are, in fact, because many of us do believe that we're from dysfunctional families. And here's a little clue, by the way. If you're not from a dysfunctional family, you're really in a very small percentage, because most families do have some dysfunction. And then on May 18th, Father Bob Bailey. And then on the 25th, laughter. Can it really cure you? And the answer is yes, it can, and we're going to tell you why. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I especially want to thank Lucinda Stryker-Schmidt for being able to be our guest this evening. And she wrote A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl, and we're so appreciative that she came on tonight. And we hope you'll tune in next week with us, and we hope everybody has a blessed evening. Thank you now.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died?